السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those who are listening to us over the receivers. Last week I was discussing the nasihat of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to his beloved son Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The five nasihats that he gave to him. But before we come to a discussion of that hadith, as I mentioned, that these majlises, whatever is necessary, whatever is relevant, or whatever comes to mind which I feel important, then I will discuss it, even though it may not be part of the subject of discussion. That there is a bit of confusion and misunderstanding with regards to the shaving of the hair or clipping of the hair and the nails of those people who are going to be making qurbani. No doubt there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that those who intend to make qurbani, then they should not be cutting the hair or clipping the nails for the 10 days of Zilhijjah, and they should do so if they wish to after they have slaughtered their animals. I'm just giving you the meaning of that hadith. But that hadith sharif, unfortunately, many people consider it to be farz or wajib. So then it becomes necessary for those who are being followed, especially those who are being followed, that people look at them and they follow them, that now and again they have to practice on the mustahab part, that since it is mustahab, it is not farz or wajib. So those who are being followed, now and again they have to clip their nails and trim their mustaches to make it known to the people that you should not consider this as farz or wajib. We should keep everything in its proper perspective and proper place. Because if everybody starts considering it as farz and wajib, and you begin to criticize others, or you begin to run down others, or you begin to consider others as committing some kind of sin by clipping their nails or cutting their hair, then it becomes sinful upon that person to consider the others as being sinful. Why are they doing that when it is not wajib and farz? But this also does not mean that anything that is sunnat or mustahab, then the purpose of learning the mustahab and sunnat is so that we don't do it. The purpose of knowing that this is sunnat or mustahab is not for the purpose of not doing it as we do. That our condition is this, that we want to find out whether it's farz, wajib, sunnat or mustahab. Now if we are told that it is mustahab or it is sunnat, then it is an excuse for us not to undertake that action. So there is a world of difference between the two. One is to understand that this is farz, this is wajib, this is sunnat, this is mustahab. And the other is that you want to know whether it is mustahab or sunnat so that you leave it out. That we want to find out so that we leave it out. Like a person asked that if I am making qaza namaz, now in my qaza namaz, if qaza umri that I am making, if I don't read the durood sharif, after tashahud, I don't read Durood Sharif, because it is sunnat. And I read only one time Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in the ruku, and one time Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in the sajda. And I leave out the sana. Will that namaz be valid or not? So now that is the same issue. So I reply that namaz will be valid because you undertook the faraiz. But it is a clear indication that there is a lack of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What if on the day of Qiyamah Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you took the Durood Sharif out of that namaz that you read because you said it was my sunnat. So therefore I too am cutting you out from my shafaat today. What would be our position? So how long will it take if you have to read the Durood Sharif, and how long will it take if you have to read the sana? The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demands that you should read it. So in the same way with this clipping of the hair or the nails, etc., I used to do it for many, many years. For the past 2 years or so, I am clipping just because many people have looked at it as something that is farz or wajib. And in fact, many of them question me too. So therefore, I do it. But for the purpose of Islah, or for the purpose of following the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those who are not imams or those who are not being followed as such in masail, then it is necessary that we should try to adopt as many sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as possible in our lives, because that is what will bring us closer to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So we must not look at what people are doing with our eyes. We do not know for what reason they are doing that. As I said, that this is my reason. But for many, many years, alhamdulillah, I practiced on that sunnat. So it is a question of adopting the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to get the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But where it is mentioned by the fuqaha and the jurists that it is sunnat or mustahab, then we must not criticize any person who is making amal on that, because he's not sinful if he has to do that. In fact, sometimes it is wajib on the person. For example, if his hair under the armpits has exceeded the 40-day limit, then it is wajib, even if it is the 10 days of Zilhijjah, that he should now remove that hair. It's wajib on him, even though he's making qurbani. So masail have to be understood. But there is a great wisdom behind this 10 days of keeping the hair, especially for the men folk, those who are shaving, those who are used to shaving every day, then they should make amal on this sunnat. At least this sunnat will then make them keep the wajib beard. Because for 10 days, if they haven't shaved, now they'll be feeling uncomfortable and waiting for the 10th day to put the blade on. So now on the 10th day, instead of putting the blade throughout the cheeks, they should now just trim it such a way that after that the beard keeps growing and you get one fist length. So for them it is better. In fact, they should keep it. And we always notice this, that in Hajj also, there are many of them in ihram. They are in a desperate hurry to get out of that ihram. Why? Because they are finding it uncomfortable. They were shaving all the time, and now for the 3 days they haven't shaved. So the Shariat said they must put this jack razor over their heads, but they put it over their head and face and everything. Sub-saf. Nevertheless, the nasihats that we were discussing of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to his son. Now the first thing that he mentioned there was that you must obey Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is giving you preference over others, although you are young in age. But he has placed a lot of trust in you, and he takes mashwara and your opinion and your views on many issues. So you too should obey him at all times. Don't let there be disobedience. Now this is another area that especially us who are bay'at to some shaykh, or we are concerned about our Islah, it is very important that we understand this point. That obedience is extremely important. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they obeyed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at all cost, come what may. But if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said something, then they obeyed. If there was a slight difference of opinion and an error of judgment, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab came down, or a test came upon them, as it happened in the battle of Uhud. You know the history. So they were asked to be obedient to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the same thing comes down to us, that when we are following a shaykh, or when we are following and the teachings of some ulama-i haq, then we are not actually following them, we are following Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, if an alim has to say that don't face the qibla and make namaz, face in some other direction, then whether he is our shaykh or whether he is known to be the greatest buzrug of the world, but we are not going to obey him, because he is now doing something or asking us to do something that is against the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So our obedience is in reality obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the teachings have come to us via our mashayikh, our ulama-i haq, our muhaddiseen, mufassireen. Now they have conveyed it to us. But when we are following the imams also, and this is where people misunderstand that, how can you follow Imam Abu Hanifa? How can you follow Imam Shafi? How can you make taqleed of this and taqleed of that person? But they, what we are really doing is we are following Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we don't have that kind of knowledge of the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There are so many hadiths which outwardly contradict each other, not in reality, but we don't understand. Or there are so many hadiths which were reported by those sahabas who met Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at an early stage in Islam, and then they moved away from Makkah, Madinah Sharif, and they came away to Africa, went to some other part of the world. Now they reported it that we saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam doing this, we saw him raising his hands like this when he was going in ruku. Now there's many different reports. Now what they are saying is the truth. They saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam doing that. But at that time the communication was not as we have today, that a person travels and within seconds he can communicate with the other person. There they saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam doing something and they went and reported it. And that was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hikmat, that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's actions were, Allah ta'ala wanted that somewhere in the ummah somebody must be practicing on that amal of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That was the love that Allah ta'ala had for Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And therefore, wherever you go, you find that somebody is making amal on some sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is actually obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We are obeying him, we are following him. But because we do not have that kind of knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, so therefore we choose some guide or somebody who has that kind of in-depth knowledge and who has spent all his life in the study of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he gives us a direction that you make your namaz like this, so we follow that one imam. So it cannot be shirk because we are following Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The hadiths are of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this obedience is extremely important. Hazrat Maulana Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi therefore used to say to his murids, he used to say, haan, khub badan ke upar giro. Say, badan ke upar khub giro. Because somebody wants to press his legs, somebody wants to massage his head, somebody wants to press his hands. So he said, badan ke upar khub giro. Lekin amal kuch mat karo. That's all. Tabarruk bana karke rakho apne shaykh ko. Keep your shaykh as a tabarruk bas. That I've got a very great shaykh, and what do? Why, I give him a massage in his head. I press his legs and I press his hands. Now that is the only purpose that you've got a shaykh. He says, therefore, he says, baat ka manna, zaat ka manna aasan hai, baat ka manna mushkil hai. He says, zaat ka manna aasan hai, baat ka manna mushkil hai. That when we are told that so and so is a great person, very learned scholar of deen, very pious, very God fearing, tahajjud guzar, one of the great mashayikh of our times. So we say, mashallah, mashallah, I also accept him. I too also heard the same thing about him. So it is easy to accept the person when you hear about the sifats and the qualities and the attributes that he has. But what he is saying to make amal on that, that is the mushkil thing. How many will make amal on what he is saying? And that is where the test is, that do we make amal or we don't make amal? Or we have just got him for tawarruk. That is where that munafiqat comes in. So he tells Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala that, my dear son, don't disobey Sayyidina Umar, the Khalifa Thani of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't disobey him, because Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was not going to instruct him or order him to do anything that was haram or anything that was forbidden or anything that was not permissible. Then he said that you must not, I mentioned this last week, I'm just trying to come to another point. He also said that you must not reveal any of his secrets. If he tells you anything in secret, then keep it as a secret. If he says that you must not reveal this to anyone, you must not say this to anyone, or you can see the circumstantial evidence, as they say, you can see that what he has told you or what you have seen, it is something that is to be kept a secret, then keep it as a secret. Otherwise, he will lose his trust and confidence in you. When a person cannot be trusted with secret, then you lose your trust in him altogether. And the Buzrugan-e-Deen, they tested people before they made them their confidant, before they told them everything. They tested them. Sometimes they tested them in such a way that it makes us surprised that what a kind of test this must have been. One person went to one Buzrug and he says that, I want to be your khas hadim. I want to be with you all the time, and I want you to trust me, and I want to really make my islah, and I'm this and I'm that. So he said, bahut acha. Then he sent a message to one of his friends that, I am going to send you this person with something in the plate, but you must not become offended. It is just to test this person. But I'm going to tell him that must deliver this parcel to you. So he took a dead rat and he put it in the plate, and he covered it up with a nice gift wrap, as we may say. And then this man who was claiming to be very trustworthy, khas khadim he wanted to become, so he said that, ye ek hadiya hai, lekin dekho, bilkul isko kholna mat, bahut khas cheez hai iske andar. And the moment you tell the person, look, there's something very special in this parcel, you must not open it, then the person definitely is going to open it. If you tell him that you must not say this to anybody, it's a special secret, then he is going to go and say it to somebody. So he told him, you take this parcel and you deliver it to that friend of mine who lives on the other street. But look, I'm repeating, please don't open this parcel, because there's something very special in there, and it is only he that can open it. So he went outside. Now he was got tempted to open it, because he told him, don't open it, it's something very special. He opened, he saw dead rat. So he got the shock of his life, and he thought, must be a wrong parcel that he's sending, or there's something gone wrong with the sheikh that he's sending a dead rat to this friend. So he came back again. He said, Hazrat, iske andar to kuch chuha mara hua panja. Found a dead rat in this. He said, did I not tell you that you must not open that? Now how can I trust you with my secrets? So you are not worthy of being my khadim. Get away from here. So he said, koi raaz ho uska ifsha mat karo. Whatever is raaz and secret, they don't make ifsha of that. But then the third part was about the speaking of the truth. Now that is the issue that we have to make our islah. That at present, if you look at the society, we will forgive those people who speak lies. We will forgive those who speak lies. The society has become like that, that if a person speaks lies, we will forgive that person. But if the person speaks the truth, we are not prepared to forgive that person. The mizaj of our whole society and the people of the world has become the acceptance of lies. That if you speak a lie, then you are a good person. But if you speak the truth, then you are a bad person. Naseha mat kar nasihat, dil mera ghabraye hai. He says, Naseha, oh, the person that's giving me advice, don't give me advice, dil mera ghabraye hai. Main samjhu ho unko dushman jo mujhe samjhaye hai. Naseha mat kar nasihat, dil mera ghabraye hai. Main samjhu ho unko dushman jo mujhe samjhaye hai. Oh, you who want to make nasihat to me, don't make nasihat to me. Because I consider that person as my enemy and dushman, who makes nasihat to me, who tells me the truth, what I am, then I consider that person as my enemy. That has become our mizaj. And look at it throughout society, that is this not the mizaj, that we only want to hear the good about ourselves. No matter what we may be, whatever we do, but we want to only hear the good about ourselves. If anyone has to tell us that this is your weakness, this is your shortcoming, this is something that you must remedy, then we consider that person as our enemy. The father does not want to hear anything wrong about his child. If you go and tell that father that your son is the best, your son, it is the wish and the desire of the people of the world to have a son like your son, and yet this person knows that that son is in the cinemas, theaters, drugs, everything else. So the father will be happy to hear this kind of a statement. But if that person comes and tells the father the truth, then that father becomes his enemy. And this is the truth what I am telling you, that the father becomes his enemy. In most cases, of course you'll get exceptions. That person who is working for someone, he knows that that person is an unjust boss, he's doing injustice, he's a cheat, he's committing fraud also. He knows all the weakness of that director or that boss that he is working for. Now, if he has to tell him the truth, then either he'll be fired from his job, or there will be no question of any increase or any progress in the position that he is holding at present. Why? Because he told him the truth. But if he speaks lies to him and he says that you are the best in the world, I worked for many people but I haven't seen anyone better than you, your akhlaq, your character, your behavior, your manners, and your justice and your truthfulness. Now if he's going to talk like that to him, then next day he's going to get increase in the salary plus one stage higher in the business. That is our mizaj, that we want to hear only the good, even though it may be a pack of lies, but our mizaj has become the acceptance of pack of lies. We will forgive the person who speaks lies, but the person who speaks the truth, we are not prepared to forgive that person. The same if you have to take in the home that a maid is working for someone, and she knows that the lady of the house, what is her behavior, what is her attitude, she knows everything. And she knows also that she looks ugly, but she tries to wear fashionable clothes to try to make herself look pretty. Now if she has to tell that lady of the house that you look ugly too, and this is your attitude, you've got a problem, then she will fire her the next day. But if she has to tell her that you look like Miss World in this dress of yours, then she will give her some gift also and congratulate her for the comments. We just want lies. Anyone tells us anything good about us, then we accept it. But if anybody has to tell a lie, then we are not prepared to accept it. If anyone tells a lie, we will accept it. But if somebody tells the truth, we are not prepared to accept it. Now this is the attitude that we have to change. That honesty, this is what it means. That we have to change this attitude. That just as we are told that you must not speak lies, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized so much that you must not speak lies, besides those few places where it is permissible to speak a lie, which I have explained. But the rule is that you should not speak lies. So just as he has emphasized that we should not be speaking lies, not telling lies, in the same way, we should not be waiting for people to tell lies about us. Because when they are praising us about those things which are not in us, then at that time we become very happy and pleased. So that shows that we are accepting those lies. Of course, it does not mean that if a person praises you, then straight away you must say, no, but I've got this weakness, this weakness, this weakness. Now that is another extreme. You have to understand everything. Sana'i khalq, the praises of people, it is one of the tafsirs of atina fi dunya hasana, that we are asking Allah Ta'ala that give us in this world also hasana. So what is that hasana in this dunya? Besides the other things, one of the things that has been mentioned is that sana'i khalq, the praises of the people, that when Allah Ta'ala puts a good opinion in the hearts of others, it is hasana fi dunya. But at that time, what should we think of ourselves? We should think of ourselves as being nothing, insignificant. We should not consider ourselves as being worthy of those praises. What we should do is at that time immediately reflect on the situation and condition of our heart and make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, it is only your mercy, your kindness, and your compassion and your forgiveness and your generosity that you have concealed my sins from this person's sight. If only he could see into my heart, then instead of showering praises, the person would have been spitting on my face. We all know the conditions of our heart. So we look at our own condition and at that time we make shukr of Allah Ta'ala that he concealed it. And say, Ya Allah, you concealed it here, conceal it in the akhirat too. But we become happy even though we know what our condition is, but we become extremely happy. We know our own condition. But if somebody has to just praise us and speak a pack of lies, then we become extremely happy. But if that person has to tell the truth, if the sheikh has to tell the truth to the murid that this is your condition and make islah, then that person will leave that sheikh and go away somewhere else. Because we are not prepared to accept anything that is for our islah. So it shows that we are part of that system, that we are just wanting that people must tell lies and keep the world going. Now when everybody is going to do the same thing, then the society will be filled with lies. And that is what has happened now, that there is darkness everywhere. It is because everybody has become accustomed to these lies. The wife wants to hear only good about her from the husband. The husband wants to hear only good about himself from the wife. The children want to hear only good. The parents want to hear only good about themselves. And yet everyone knows what is happening. But nobody is prepared to accept any kind of islahi bayan or waz. Anything that hurts and pinches the heart, then we do not want that kind of bayan. Because we have to do something. We all want the bayan to be of such a kind where we don't have to do anything. Where we just make wah wah and finish. Hazrat Shah Ataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say, oh, you people of Lahore, he said, I gave such bayans that if I had to give it to the waters of the ocean, the waters would have dried up. If I had to give it to the mountains would have become turned to smithereens. If I had to give it to the heavens, the clouds would have come falling down. He says, but all my bayans before you, either you made ah, ah, or you made wah, wah. That's about all. Or tum wahi ke wahi rahe. Tumhari ah ah ne aur wah wah ne shaji ko tabah kar diya. So what he was getting at is that whole night bayans they used to give. So but the next day in Lahore, nothing different you find. It's still the same. The cinemas are still operating. The theatres are still operating. The prostitutes are still running their show. Everybody is doing his own thing. But whole night they sat in the bayan. So this mizaj must change. Our mizaj must become a mizaj of obedience to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Of course, we don't say that overnight the person will change. That is a difficult thing. But the mizaj must be of immediate acceptance. It must not be like, I will see, I will decide. I'm not ready as yet, as many people say. I'm not ready as yet. I'm still young. I'm not ready. So this again reminds me of the same thing which I repeated many times in my majlises. Of Hazrat Damat Barakatum, that you ask the person that when will you get ready? Ask them, well, if you say you are not ready as yet, then when will you get ready? Before death or after death? When will the person get ready? Before death for Islam and reformation and change or after death? So obviously the answer is going to be before death. So if it's before death, then what guarantee you got that you're still going to live for another 20 years or 50 years? So the time is now, not tomorrow. Take the first steps towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala immediately. and then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then makes it easy for that person. He will take him along with his quwwat and power of jazb. So this mizaj must change, that we want everybody to talk good about us. Yes, we must ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to put a good opinion into the hearts of people, and they must talk good about us. But at the same time, we ourselves must not only be happy with the good that people speak. If there is anything that is said which concerns our islah, then we must look into what that person is saying. When a person criticizes, when he mocks, or when he teases, then at that time must look into those statements of his, that what is he saying? Do I have those weaknesses in me? If I do have, then I must make shukr that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed it via somebody, and I must make islah of it. And if I don't have it and the person is saying it, then I must not worry about it. By people saying that we are good, it doesn't mean we are good. And by people saying we are bad, it doesn't mean we are bad. Don't worry about what the people say. We must worry what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala thinks of us. And how are we going to know that? X-ray ourselves and check in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah what I am doing, is it right or wrong? So then we will know whether Allah ta'ala is pleased with us or displeased with us. That woman who was, or that girl who was being beautified, powder, lipstick and everything was put on her face, and her hair was being done up, and she was made to wear the gown for her wedding, and then her friend said, now you look really beautiful. Then what did she say? She began to cry. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah said she began to cry. And why did she begin to cry? She said that you're telling me that I'm very beautiful and pretty is not sufficient, it's not good enough. When my husband will tell me that you are pretty, then I can say that indeed I am pretty. When Allah Ta'ala will say on the day of Qiyamah that I loved you, you were pleasing to me, your actions were pleasing to me. When Allah Ta'ala will say I forgive you, then at that time we can say that indeed we were good. Where are we giving ourselves certificate from today? Don't get carried away by what people have to say. We must make a check-up of ourselves every day of our lives, that how much of improvement we have made. How much of improvement in our akhlaq, how much of improvement in our muamalat. Some people will attend majlises all their lives, but they do not have the courage to return to those people whatever they have taken illegally. Inheritance-wise, it did not belong to them. But 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, they were not at that time dini inclined. But they are attending majlis for 2 years now, or they're going in tabligh and dawat for 2-3 years, or they're going to khanqas or doing or some other deen work. But they don't have the himmat and the courage to return that which they have taken illegally. What they have usurped, the rights of the orphans and the widows, they do not have the courage and the himmat to return that. So then what is the purpose of all the time just giving the impression that we have reformed ourselves and changed ourselves? We cannot cheat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, the people will look at us and say, mashallah, this person is very regular for the past 5 years now. He's been sitting in the majlis and he looks very pious. He makes his namaz also properly. But those who know that he has usurped the property of the widows and the orphans and his sisters and brothers, so they are not going to accept, even though you make sajda all your life there. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is observing. So build up that himmat, build up that courage. The day we begin to fulfill the rights of people, and then the rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, immediately nur will come into that heart. Immediately. The condition of that heart will change. You will enjoy a kind of tranquility, serenity, peace, which I repeatedly say that even the kings do not know of. You can be sleeping on the floor, you can be in a hut, you can be in a jungle, you can have no money in your pocket, you can be driving around or riding a bicycle or just walking on foot and catching the bus or catching the trains, but you will be enjoying serenity and peace and comfort which even the kings do not have in all the luxuries that they have. And on the other hand, if Allah Ta'ala has given a good home, good car, good wife, good children, then even amongst them you will be happy, and Allah Ta'ala will give sukoon and peace and comfort in the heart. This is all dependent on the amal that we make. So this mizaj of ours that we just want to hear lies, that must change. that person who was fed up, sick and tired of his horse, because that horse was always throwing him out and was giving a very bad ride. But now this person, he took it to the auctioneer and said, I must auction this horse because I'm sick and tired of it. So when the auctioneer started, that it rides like a Rolls Royce and it's the best in the world from east to west in 60 seconds. So this person who had tried and tested that horse all his life and was sick and tired, he said, if the horse is so beautiful, why should I not take it back? So he said, no, don't auction it, I'm taking it back. So he got carried away with the words of that auctioneer. So we too get carried away with the words of people and really and truly believe that we have indeed reached the heavens. But if we have to take a stock of our lives all the time and be on guard against nafs and shaitan's attacks, then inshallah we will succeed. So therefore he tells Hazrat his son that do not speak lies. Don't let Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu catch you speaking a lie. Otherwise he will lose that trust and confidence in you. It is such an important thing. At present we train our children to speak lies. We train people to speak lies. In the businesses we train our staff to speak lies. It's very common today. We train them to speak lies. We know that that article or that garment cannot be ready by Wednesday or Thursday. Now we tell that staff, look, that chap will come and he will say that, can I get it by Thursday? Then you must say, yes, yes, you can get it. Whereas you know you cannot get it ready by Thursday. Now outwardly it seems a simple thing. But we have trained our staff to speak lies just to get that customer. Or many other issues of that nature, that so much of lies, that our staff are told that you must say this, you must say that, speak a lot of lies. And they are desperate for their jobs, so they will continue speaking those lies. So in our daily lives we must see where we are speaking lies. Don't only think of the high level things. In our daily life, every day, a person comes home and he's tapping the door. Now we tell our child that go outside and say, I'm not here. Now the child goes and says that, no, my father is not here. Now we have trained the child from now to go and speak a lie. And then someday that child will go outside and say, my father said he's not here. One person went and tapped at a door. So he told the maid, go and say that I'm not here. So she went and said the same thing. She said that Bas Chalile, that he's not there. So he too was a Allah wala, so he accepted it and went away. One day this person went to visit this Allah wala himself. And he tapped at the door. So he said from inside, I am not here. He replied, I am not here. He says, but you are speaking, then how can you not be there? He said, but I accepted the word of your maid the other day, because he heard that he's inside. So he said, I could have accepted his word, you can't accept my word, that I'm not here. To teach him a lesson, this is a lie. So these are little things. But it has a lot of effect on the hearts. Now when there's so much of lies being spoken in the businesses, in the schools, in the colleges, in the universities, in the masjids, in the madrasas, in the bazaars and marketplaces, so what is happening is that the whole atmosphere is being filled with nothing but darkness. And this zulmat and darkness, those whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with hearts, we all say we have got heart, but who are the Ahle Dil? Dogs got heart, pigs got heart, monkeys got heart, everything has got heart. But we only call those people who have got heart, whose hearts are connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So those people can sense this darkness. That there's so much of darkness because of the great amount of lies that are being spoken. There's no barkat left in the homes, no barkat in the businesses, no barkat in the earnings, no barkat in anything. That is the reason why he said, oh my son, don't let Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu catch you speaking a lie. And then of course he said that don't make any kind of khayanat, don't betray the trust. In whatever it may be, do not betray the trust. Because Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala no trusts you, so you should not betray that trust. And then he said, don't make ghibat. Now again, I just listed this, and I conclude here. And make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make our zahir and our batin.
Amen.
Both the same. Whatever is the haqiqat and the reality of deen, it must come into our hearts. We must not be of those who are pretending all the time. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sees into our hearts. And everything is dependent on the condition of those hearts. We are human beings, we will make mistakes. We should not despair of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy. This I repeatedly say, that when these issues are mentioned, then we must not say, no, it's beyond our capacity and ability. How are we going to really do these type of things? Our lifestyle is like this. Now if our lifestyle is like that, then at least make tawbah, make istighfar, speak to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I want to change my life, I want to get out of this type of evils, I also want to become from amongst your walis, I also want peace, happiness, sukoon, I want the best of dunya and akhirat, so give me the tawfiq, give me the himmat, give me the courage. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give the person what he asks for. It may take a few days extra, it may take a longer time, but at least the person will be in that line. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was being sold, so that one old woman went to purchase. So somebody asked her that, you don't even have the money, where you lined up here, yet you want to purchase Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. She said, at least on Qiyamah day my name also will come in that list of people that were in that queue to purchase Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So like that, even though we may not have that kind of ability, we don't have that kind of capacity, we are weak, we are sinful, we have got our weakness, our shortcomings, but our Allah is very merciful. Our Allah is Rahim, our Allah is Kareem, our Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He wants to see what kind of effort we put in and what kind of talab we have. When the baby cries, then the mother gives the baby milk. Allah ta'ala converts that blood into milk on the crying of that baby. It's blood, but it converts to milk on the crying of the baby. If we are going to cry before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and seek from Him, then He will convert our evils and give us the tawfiq of doing nurani actions. But we have to show that talab, we have to cry before Allah, ask Him. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, you and the entire ummah the tawfiq, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. او اللہ, forgive our sins major or minor, the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. O Allah, forgive us, forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ay Allah, hamare zahiri batini har gunah ko tu maaf farma de. Ay Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to speak nothing but the truth. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all, to fulfill your rights and the rights of your creation. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the terms of trust. Give us the tawfiq to abstain and restrain ourselves from the betrayal of the trust. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to appreciate the ni'mats that you have blessed us with. Ya Allah, the enemies of Islam, they have ganged up to destroy the Muslim Ummah. Ya Allah, assist and help the Mujahideen of Islam, the Mujahideen of Afghanistan, the Mujahideen of Palestine, the Mujahideen of Kashmir, Chechnya. Ay Allah, they are giving their lives for the cause of your deen. Ay Allah, unke khune shahadat ko tu qubool farma. Ay Allah, unke khune shahadat ko tu qubool farma. Ay Allah, unke hal par tu raham farma. Ay Allah, unke biwi bachcho par raham farma. Ay Allah, masjid aqsa ki hifazat farma. Those who have gone for hajj, bless them with hajj maqbool mabrool. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم